today's episode, I'm going to tell you about a man who some called the Robin Hood of the Lumbee people, Henry Barry Lowry. Welcome to the NC Everything Podcast. I'm your host, Curtis, and this is a bi-weekly show where I talk about everything that has anything to do with North Carolina. Thank you all for coming to listen to me. If you hadn't figured it out in the short time this show's been on so far, the audio is still kind of weird. If you didn't catch the last episode, it wasn't a good one. Last episode I was suffering from a really bad cold. My tripod has been broken, so I'm using a makeshift tripod. My microphone receiver has quit working, so I need to get one of them, and I forgot to order it, so I still have terrible audio. My printer quit working, so if you're watching on YouTube instead of listening on a podcast player, you'll see that I have the glow of the laptop in my face. I did clean my upstairs room that I used to podcast in, and so I got a lot more room up here, and if you're watching on YouTube, I got an empty bookshelf. Well, almost empty. I have playing guitar for dummies. I'm trying again to learn how to play the guitar. But anyway, it's been a bad winter for equipment and everything else. But I promise you, I will get a new microphone receiver coming in. I will have a tripod coming in soon, and while it's cold outside, I'll probably continue recording my new and improved room, but hopefully you won't have the terrible lighting next time I record. Anyway, again, thank you all for joining me. I hope I can edit the audio where it's at least tolerable. If this is your first time listening, thank you for joining me. I do feel like I put together a better show normally. I do feel a whole lot better. I don't have the cold anymore. But by the end of this episode, if you did enjoy the show, check us out on the Facebook group. You don't have to answer any questions. You can join right up. And if you're listening and you'd rather watch, you can watch me on YouTube. There'll be a link for that in the description below. And if you're watching and you'd rather just listen, I can be found on most podcast players. And I think that's about enough self-promotion for right now. So let's go ahead and get into the content. Now, to talk about Henry Barry Lowry, who I'm probably just going to call Henry Lowry, I need to kind of talk about the Lumbee themselves, and I won't go too deep into it. There really isn't a whole lot of information out there. The origins of the Lumbee people is still a pretty big mystery. Now, people may debate on that mystery, but I did run down some of the more notable theories about the origins of the Lumbee. And the most famous one, which I'll start with, is the Lost Colony Theory. It was proposed in 1885, and the theory goes that the Lumbee people are simply descendants of these lost Roanoke colonists. And the Lost Roanoke Colony itself may be a debatable mystery. You know, nobody really knows for sure what happened to those folks, but I think, I think a lot of people can take a rational guess. But pretty much the lost Roanoke colonists weren't lost. They just moved away and joined up with Native Americans, and eventually the Lumbee people came to be. Now, one thing I thought was interesting was out of the 95 surnames that was there in the lost colony, 41 of these same surnames are found within the Lumbee people. Now, fast forward to 1933, there's an anthropologist named John R. Swanton. He kind of concluded that the Lumbee were descendants of two different tribes, the Siouan and the Kiawe. And so with that, it's not so much the lost colonists, but two tribes kind of blended together to make the Lumbee. And another theory has to do with the Tuscarora War, which I covered on this show. You see, during the Tuscarora War, the Cherokees, they helped the white man, Colonel Barnwell, fight off the Tuscarora. Well, after the war was over, all these Cherokee, they had to head on back to their land. The theory is that some of the Cherokee kind of stuck around down east, and they, again, blended with native people who are already down east, and you get the Lumbee. By the way, if you don't know, I guess I should have started with this. Most of the Lumbee are down in Robeson County, which is eastern North Carolina. And I'm sure, you know, you'll find Lumbee in other parts of North Carolina. I've met a few Lumbee myself here in Orange County. But the most concentrated area of Lumbee is Robeson County. But anyway, like I said, there's a lot of great theories, and there's a lot of people out there who say this is the fact, but to my knowledge, nobody really knows for sure. All right, now let's talk about Henry Barry Lowry. Henry Lowry was one of 12 children from Alan and Mary Lowry. And some of the articles I read said there were 14 kids. I guess it doesn't ultimately matter. Anyway, the Lowry family had lived in that area around Pembroke for over 100 years. And believe it or not, their family had actually been large landowners, which, you know, I mean, at one time, Native Americans owned all the land. But as land started being taken away from them, you know, it was surprising to hear about a Native American who owned a lot of land. But like I said, land was being taken away, and this was no different for the Lowrys. Their land was eventually stripped down to hardly nothing. And it was mainly because of this thing called, or one of the reasons was just this thing called the Tide Haul Routine. So what would happen is whites would secretly sneak onto Native American land and tie up their hog or cow or some piece of livestock. Well, then they would come back later and they would accuse the Native Americans of, you know, stealing their livestock. And everybody knows a Native American ain't gonna win in no court of a white man. And so the white man, he says, I know you stole my livestock, but if you agree to give me some of your land or come to work for me, I won't press charges. And so, you know, a lot of them did go to work for their accuser, and it was essentially slavery. But for the most part, the Native Americans, you know, to really stay out of trouble, stay out of prison, they would just give up some of their land, and little by little, they would end up losing all their land. And what land they didn't lose back then, they lost all of it during Andrew Jackson's Indian removal. And most of you know about the Trail of Tears. Andrew Jackson pretty much makes all Eastern Native Americans march somewhere. He don't care where, but a lot of them, as you know, ended up in Oklahoma, but he just wanted them west of the Mississippi. Eventually, you know, I've said this before, they didn't get to keep their land out there either. But the Indian Removal Act was get out of the east, just go west somewhere. And so a lot of Native Americans lost their land and livelihood and their lives during the Trail of Tears. Now, if you're familiar with the Trail of Tears, a lot of them hid out and found ways to remain here in the east. And this is what happened with the Lowry family. So at this time, they didn't have much land, but they were still down toward Pembroke and Robeson County. The problem was the white man knew that the Indians were supposed to go. So the Native Americans who were still here, they got really harsh treatment. There was no education for them. They didn't really have any rights. They were treated like shit. And any amount of land they had at that time, it was taken away without question. It's like, you shouldn't even be here. So obviously this isn't your land. Well, then the Civil War begins. And with war, the soldiers, they need forts. And of course, you know, back then, white men, they don't want to do the hard work themselves. So naturally, they would turn to the slaves. The problem was, down east, the yellow fever was all over the place. So a lot of plantation owners, they went somewhere else. They picked up their slaves and got the hell away from the yellow fever. So there wasn't a whole lot of help around. And the ones that were around, they refused to offer their slaves because, you know, they didn't want their slaves dying of yellow fever. That's a lot of money invested in these people. I know that sounds horrible, but it is what it is. And so the only solution was to get together these remaining Native Americans and we'll force them to build forts. In fact, I think, if I ain't mistaken, Fort Fisher was built largely in part by Native American forced labor. Well, Henry Lowry, he wasn't going to have any part of this, you know, forced labor, building fort shit. So he heads into the swamp to hide from Confederate soldiers. And there he runs into a bunch of other people hiding from the Confederates. One of them was his brother William. And his brother William kind of led the group of guys already hiding out. So they were called the Lowry Band, but not because of Henry, because of his brother. So during the Civil War, while they were hiding out, this is also where the Lowry War begins. And it was near the end of the Civil War. A lot of Union soldiers who were in Confederate prisons, they were escaping. They were heading into the swamps, and they were joined up with the Lowry Band. And what they would do is they would engage in pretty much guerrilla warfare with the Confederate Home Guard. And if you don't know what the Home Guard is, it's a group of local people who got together to make sure all eligible men were all fighting. That's the sugar-coated version. Actually, it was a bunch of cowards who avoided going to war. And so they would stick around towns and harass locals, and they would murder men who were coming home from the war. You know, they'd accuse them of being deserters and then just shoot them outright. And they mainly just took over towns and villages and kind of became tyrants of the area. Well, at one point, one of these Confederate home guards, he kills three of Henry Lowry's cousins. When in return, on December 21st, 1864, Henry kills the guy who killed his cousins, along with the scout from the home guard. And it said that he shot him at point-blank range with a shotgun. But it didn't kill him right away. Henry and the gang, they flee into the swamps. Well, two neighbors who heard the gunshots, they came running. Before the home guard guy, before he dies, he names Henry Barry Lowry as his killer. And this is really the incident that started the Lowry Wars. And the Lowry Wars, they went on for about 8 years. And it was really a war on plantation society. Not so much like the home guard. I'm sure it was mostly, if not all, white men. But it was these rich plantation owners that the Lowry gang was really after. And during these 8 years, a lot of sheriffs and militia and soldiers, Confederate soldiers, the Lowry gang, they killed a whole lot of people. But anyway, back to the story. After the Lowry gang, or Henry Lowry, after he kills that home guard, the next step was to get more guns. You see, there was a ban on Indians and blacks owning guns. So they had to go find some somewhere. So they raided the courthouse in Lumberton. And this courthouse, it was a courthouse, but it was also the local armory for the militia. So they break into that, and they took a ton of guns and ammo. And this is when they started raiding plantations. And toward the end of my research, I had read that a lot of the victims of Henry Barry Lowry said he was pretty personable. You know, he was nice about it. They said that a lot of times Henry Lowry, he'd raid your plantation, but if he thought you couldn't afford it, or if he thought you couldn't afford the loss, he wouldn't rob you. It said sometimes he would steal horses and wagons and then take them back and return them after he was done with them. And sometimes he would even give a receipt for the stuff that he stole. Now, you'd think that somebody this violent and somebody doing all this, you know, everybody would be after him. The Confederates were after him, and eventually the Confederates, they became, after the war was over, they became, you know, like a regular militia, or I have it in my notes somewhere, but they became the law pretty much. You know, these guys were always after him. The thing was, he never stole from Native Americans, and he never stole from blacks. And so this made it really easy for him to hide and take cover amongst these groups. Well, apparently on February 27th, 1865, they raided the Argyle Plantation, and it turned into a really, really big gunfight. And my notes say that this triggered retaliation from the Home Guard, but the rest of my notes, it kind of talks like the Home Guard was after Henry Lowry the whole time. But I guess this really pissed them off. So 80 men from the Home Guard started hunting for Henry Lowry and the Lowry gang, it's the Lowry Band. Well, they would eventually catch six members of the Lowry Band, and they would try them as thieves. Two of the men were executed by firing squad, Allen and William Lowry. And of course, this was Henry's kin. Well, since William Lowry was the leader of the Lowry Band, and now he's dead, Henry became the natural leader of the band. And this was on March 1865. Finally, the Civil War ends, and Lowry, who had been kind of seeing this girl named Rhoda Strong, they decided to get married on December 7th, 1865. Well, immediately after the ceremony, the county militia. That's what the Home Guard became, the county militia. So right after the ceremony, the county militia, former Home Guard guys, they bust in and they arrest Henry Lowry. However, Lowry, he never was tried for this crime. He was jailed in Whiteville, but a bunch of his friends, they found out where he was. They smuggled a file to him, and he escaped. And after this first escape, he would go uncaptured for the next 3 years. Well, the government, I guess they thought they were going to be smart, so they're going to strike a deal with Henry Lowry. They told him that if he surrendered, he would get a fair trial. Now, think about that. This is after all these years of slavery and abuse. This is after the Indian removal, after they've been chasing him, after they murdered his father and brother. The government actually tries to sell him on, if you surrender, you'll get a fair trial. Now, I don't know if Henry Lowry was messing with them or if he actually believed this, but he agreed to the terms and he turned himself in December of 1868. Well, it didn't take long before a rumor got back to Henry that a lynch mob was coming to get him. And so he breaks out again. I didn't really have any details on this second escape, but it sounded like it was pretty easy. Well, now the government was really pissed off at him. So instead of trying to offer him a deal, they made a reward for his capture. And they kept raising the reward amount until it was $11,000, 1870 money. I read somewhere that the reward actually got up to $25,000. Well, the governor of North Carolina at this time was Governor William Woods Holden. And he saw that this local militia, these old Home Guard boys, they weren't really getting the job done. So in 1871, he sends down the federal artillery. Or they arrived in Lumberton in 1871. But even with the federal artillery there in 1871, the Lowry War would go on for another 3 years. Now, during this time, one by one, Lowry's allies and his friends, they were all killed off. But then one day, Henry Barry Lowry just vanishes. Now, my notes, my research says it was February 1872, so I'm assuming the last time he was seen alive was in February 1872, but that's the date of his vanishing. And when I say he vanished, I mean, he was gone. There wasn't any farewells or goodbye letters. There wasn't any, to my knowledge, there wasn't any packed bags or any signs that he'd left. He just stopped existing. Now, some people, of course, say he was killed. Some say he went into hiding and lived out the rest of his life. But nobody really knows. What they do know is that no remains of Henry Barry Lowry was ever found. None of the reward money was ever claimed. And members of the Lowry family, even today, they insist that he survived and lived to be an old man. Now, I say his family today says that he lived out his life. That's with the exception of Reverend Patrick Lowry. That was Henry's brother. And keep in mind, he was a reverend. You know, traditionally, he wouldn't tell a lie. But he claimed that Henry was dead and he had been to his grave. But to my knowledge, nobody knows where that grave is at. However, Henry Lowry's wife claimed to her dying day that he wasn't killed back then, that he lived. Now, maybe that's just wishful thinking on her part. I feel like my wife, even if I went into hiding, you know, I would still do my best to keep up contact with her. But you never know, you know, he would put his family in danger if he kept up contact. But, and I don't know what the traditional inside the Lumbee community, what they say about Henry Lowry. But I'd like to think that he made it out and he escaped and he lived. But that's all I got on Henry Barry Lowry. I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope I can get the audio fixed. Hopefully the next episode will be better. If not, then definitely the one after that. I'll have all my stuff back. I'll have my ducks in a row, you know. But don't forget, if you enjoyed the show, to rate, review, and subscribe. Check out the Facebook group. And if you want more NC Everything, check out Tasting NC, a YouTube show I do with my wife, where we taste everything that has anything to do with North Carolina. And I'll try to leave a link for that in the description below as well. And I think that's all I got. I can't think of much else to say. So I'll talk to you in a couple weeks.